The Romance of Morien, Part 5. The adventure does us to know that when Sir Morien and Sir Geraint had parted from Sir Gawain, they rode once more to the crossways, for they had made a compact that they should not part before that they had found his father, Sir Aglaval. Thus they rode both together, for Morien swore an oath that, would Sir Geraint ride with him, he would e'en pray his uncle and his father to come to the aid of the queen, King Arthur's wife, and help her to win back her land. On this covenant, and on this behest, would Sir Geraint ride with him and bear Morien company. As they came to the ships, Morien told him how it had fared with him before, when he thought to make the crossing. And he said that he found no living soul among all that he saw there who would let him into his ship, since he seemed to them so huge, and black withal. They counted themselves for lost, deeming that I were the devil, and were sore afeard, and put out to sea. Now see, Sir Geraint, what counsel ye may find, and how we may so contrive that we cross the water. Doubt ye not, that an they once behold me and know me, they will straightway set sail again and put to sea. I fear me we may not cross over. Quoth Sir Geraint, by what you tell me, methinks 'twere better that I ride on ahead and hire me a ship. Ye shall follow on softly, and let me once come therein, and have my steed aboard and the boatman in my power. He shall not depart from hence, ere that ye be come thither. May my soul be lost if he do. Further spake the knight, Sir Geraint, even should he be beside himself when he first see ye, I shall not let him free, ere he have taken us to the further shore, or I shall have from him such forfeit, 'twere better for him to be sunken and drowned in the depths of the sea. Then answered Morien, ye have found the best counsel that may be devised. Now ride ye without delay, and hire us a boat, good and strong, that may well carry us over the water. I shall abide behind, and wait till ye have done your part. I will do even as ye shall counsel. Thus they agreed together, and Sir Geraint rode alone till he came to the ships, where he found a boat that pleased him well. He offered the boatman money enough to take him to the further side with no delay. He gave him the gold in his hand, and he made him ready and hoisted sail and rigging. Of this did he swiftly repent. Even as the steed was aboard, and all was ready for the crossing, came Morien riding, blacker than any son of man whom Christian eyes had e'er beheld. And the boatman was fain to flee when he beheld him, and he drew nigh to him, for he had seen him aforetime. He deemed that he should surely die of fear, and scarce might move a limb. Then Sir Geraint asked him, Sir Boatman, what aileth thee? By heaven it availeth thee nothing. Thou shalt ferry us over swiftly. Now make us no ado, or this shall be thy last day. By the Lord who made us, of what art thou afraid? This is not the devil. Hell hath he never seen. 'Tis but my comrade. Let him in. I counsel thee straightly. Then must the boatman obey, though he liked it but ill. He saw that better might not be. He might neither leap out of the boat nor otherwise escape. So soon as he had in his boat Morien, of whom he was sore afraid, in that he was so huge, and had shipped his steed, which was in seeming over strong, he pushed the boat from shore and put out to sea. He feared him greatly, even as one who deems that he is lost. When Morien had sat himself down, he did off his helmet of steel. Then the boatman deemed that he was a dead man, and prayed for mercy, beholding his face, for he thought he might scarce be a Christian. Sir Geraint asked of him tidings, if there had passed that way two knights, of whom the one bestrode a red horse and rode red armor, and the other bore the badge of King Arthur. If he might tell him anything of them, he besought him to do so. If he knew where they yet abode, he would give him great thanks. The boatman said, "'Tis not long since that they were even in my boat. The one knight wore red armor and had with him a red steed, and the other was wounded and bore King Arthur's badge. And I know full well," quoth the boatman, "the knights who bear that badge, by that same token shall ye yourself be one of King Arthur's knights. They would both cross over, and I ferried them to the further side. 'Twas to them an unknown land. That did I hear well from their speech. Methought that they were ill at ease, I knew not wherefore. I saw that the one wept so that the tears fell thick adown his face. And when I had brought them to the other side, the knight, who was glad thereof, asked me if I knew where stood a hermitage wherein a hermit dwelt. That did I show him, no more and no less." Thus fared they, having heard the tale and speaking of the twain, till that they touched the sand. Then did the boatman show them the way they should ride there to where the hermitage stood, and declared to them the road. Thus left they the boatman, who was much rejoiced to be safely quit of them. But the knights went on their way till they knew that they drew near to the hermitage, and came even unto it. And then they dismounted and made fast their steeds before the door, and cried with a loud voice to those within, "Let us in! Open of your good will!" A lad came to the door and asked them what they desired, and if anything ailed them, that they required aid. Then Sir Geraint spoke, and said that, if it were pleasing to them, they would fain have speech with the hermit, and with Sir Aglaval. And the messenger went his way to the twain, and told them how two knights stood without the gate. "The one is a goodly man to look upon, and well armed, and so forsooth is the other. But his armor and his limbs, so far as I might see, were blacker than soot or pitch. I know not if you know anything of them or of their errand. They said that they would fain speak with ye, and they prayed me straitly, the twain of them, that I should come hither and tell ye this." Sir Aglaval, who deemed this passing strange, went as best he might to the gate, and his uncle the hermit followed him with no delay. Sir Aglaval looked through the wicket, and was ware of Sir Geraint, Sir Gawain's brother, and bethought him how that he belonged to King Arthur's court, and was worthy of great honor. For though he were not so well known throughout the land as was his brother Sir Gawain, yet was he a strong knight and bold, and a doer of valiant deeds. When they beheld each other, they gave fair and courteous greeting, the one to the other, and Sir Geraint spake, "May he who can do all things show favor and honor to ye, Sir Knight, and to all who be with ye there within." Sir Aglaval looked upon Morien, and marked right well the fashion of him, and marveled within himself what manner of knight he might well be who bore such guise. And Morien stood before him, and asked him if he yet remembered how, seeking for Sir Lancelot, he came into the land of the Moors, and how he there loved a maiden, and plighted to her his troth, and how she granted to him her favors, ere he departed from her upon his quest. He asked him if he yet thought thereupon, how, when he departed from the land, he pledged his word to her that he would return, so soon as might be, to the country of the Moors, for her profit and for her honor. Did he yet think upon this? Sir Aglaval made answer, "Sir Knight, I make no denial. Yet have I but seldom been at rest. I rode in quest of Sir Lancelot a while, and thereafter had I but little respite, since I brought my brother to court, where he was held in high honor. And so soon as he was made knight, must I ride forth with him upon a journey which he would in no wise delay. for he was fain to avenge the harm done to our father many a year agone. That must ye understand. My brother knew well that our foes had taken to themselves the heritage that should have been ours when they drove my father forth. This would he avenge and spare not, and herein had we much strife ere we might regain it. But now have we done so much that we have won back our heritage, and slain all those who had possessed themselves of our land. That so many years have fled since I swore to the maiden that I would return to her, that came of necessity. Now have I failed to keep mine oath, and needs must that I bethink me well, and seek counsel in the matter. I know not, and have no true tidings, whether that lady of whom ye speak be living or dead. Nothing do I know thereof. Quoth Morien, but I shall tell ye more thereof. She to whom ye gave your troth yet liveth, and is my mother, and ye, Sir Knight, are my father. If ye will come with me at her prayer and mine, then will ye do well and courteously. Ye begat me upon her who should be your wife, had ye kept your oath. Now, bethink ye well, and say if ye will come or no. When ye parted from my mother, she bore me, though she knew it not. Thus, Sir Knight, did the matter fall out. Sir Aglaval made answer, by heaven, Sir Knight, I believe ye, every whit. That which the lady claimeth from me, in that I have thus betrayed her and forsworn mine oath, that will I make good, by the help of God. I will yet win her grace. Come ye to me, here within, to mine uncle and my brother. They shall counsel us well when they hear our tale. So shall we be more at ease. With that, he undid the wicket. Would have done any heart good who understood their speech to see how Sir Aglaval and Morien embraced and kissed each other. Any heart would have been the gladder who had heard and seen their gestures and their words, and in what love and friendship they betook themselves within, where they were right well received. Sir Aglaval forthwith made known to his uncle and to Sir Percival the true tale of his doings, and how that his son had come hither. When Sir Percival heard this, never did knight receive so glad a welcome as that which he gave unto his nephew. So likewise did the hermit. 'Twas bliss and fair speech there betwixt those knights, and in their honor did they bring forth such food and drink as was there within, and did all they might for their comfort. That evening was there nothing but gladness. Each made great joy of the other, and erst, as the knights were weary, did they get them to sleep, as men are wont to do, till the day broke, and the sun shone forth. The knights lay longer abed than did the hermit, who had said and sung his orisons and his mass ere day had dawned, or that the knights had arisen and done on their garments. Then spake Morien to his father, even as ye shall hear, and said he would ride thence, and was fain to know, without contention, if he would come with him to his mother, and do that which he promised when he departed from her, for the sake of God and of his own honor, and for their profit. He told how they had been deprived of their rightful heritage, which had fallen to his mother from her father. Was altogether denied her by the law of the land. Yet 'twas the shame rather than the loss which grieved her, in that men called her son fatherless, and she might bring no proof of her word, nor show them to their face the man who had begotten me. Then said Sir Aglaval, his father, I will tell ye out and out how the thing stands with me, and tell ye all my counsel. Believe me well, I will not lie to ye in one word. And Morien hearkened, and answered that he believed him fully. Thus they abode that day with the hermit, and were better served in all that men might prepare for them than I may well tell ye. And Morien prayed his father straitly that he would delay not, but would tell him what was in his thought and in his intent. Thus did he urge his father, till Sir Aglaval told him all his mind. He said that he beheld a vision in a dream. It seemed to him that he rode through the day in a land where he saw nothing but wilderness and woods and trees, many and fair. By whiles he rode through hail and snow, by whiles through noontide heat, so that he was sore vexed. Whiles he saw the sun shine bright, whiles it was as if the twilight fell. He saw all kinds of beasts run through the forest, and folk young and old go up and down the woods. All this did he see in his dream, but nowhere in all this land did he come to where he might find shelter. But as it drew towards evening, and the light failed, did he think to see a tower, so strongly builded that none by force might lightly win their way within. But no doorway might he see, only, as it were, another tower that stood there. Within this he beheld a stairway that wound upward to a doorway at the end. The door seemed to him as high as a church, and of wrought ironwork. Were a man sick, he might well be healed by the light that streamed forth from within. For as he saw and looked upon it, it seemed as it might well be heaven. And every step of the stairway was of good red gold. And he thought within himself that since those steps were so fair, he might well set foot thereon and tell the tale of them, how many they might be, that hereafter he might speak of the great marvel he had seen. But as he had counted 60, and would set foot upon the next, lo, he saw none of all those he had left below him, save that upon which he stood, and on which his foot was set, and above him he saw nothing. And it seemed to him that the door was as distant from the step, as high as one might shoot with a bow. Thus might he go neither forward nor backward. Then he beheld, and on the ground beneath were serpents and wild bears, even as if they would tear him. They gnashed their teeth as if they would seize him, and gaped with their jaws as if they would swallow him. It seemed to him as if they were even at his heels, and he saw the snakes and dragons all twist themselves upward. And as I was thus fearful, the step broke beneath me, and I fell downwards. From his great discomfort and his fear of the dragons, he awoke and slept no more. The dream vexed him sorely whenever he thought thereon. He was angry and wroth, and wist not what the portent of the vision might be. But his heart forebode him that pain and mischief and sore labor withal drew nigh to him. Then it fell out that he met with a learned clerk, to whom he told the vision even as it had appeared to him. And when he had hearkened to his tale and understood it well, the clerk interpreted it in this wise. Concerning our lands, great and small, that we thereof should be in great stress and fear, ere we might win to them again. For strong were the castles and mighty the armies. Therefore did the vision foretell ill to my brother and myself, each and singly. And further he spoke concerning my brother Percival, and the spear, and the grail. For that golden stairway betokened the Holy Grail, and that Percival should aid in the winning thereof, and in that service should he die. Thus did he foretell me. And the door that stood above, and the stairway itself, each alike betokened the heavenly kingdom, as might well be known by the light that shone within. and the steps that lay before it, they betokened the days of Percival's life. This I tell ye of a truth, each betokeneth a day, or a week, or it may be a month, but of this ye be sure, and doubt not. So long shall he live, and then shall he yield up his life. And that the steps broke beneath ye, 'twas for your sins. Ye had well nigh climbed them, had not sin laid hold on ye. The bears and the dragons and the serpents that there lay in wait, know ye well that they gave sure and certain sign that the fiends deemed they had ye for their own in that hour, and would carry ye to hell. Thus did the wise master make known to him his dream, and bade him thereof take warning, and order his ways with wisdom, and that speedily, and delay not, for here should he abide no long time, but drew nigh to his end. Dear son, quoth Sir Aglaval, then did my brother cease his quest for the spear and the grail, and the adventure on which he was bound, and came hither as swiftly as he might to mine uncle the hermit, and clothed himself in this habit, through that which the clerk foretold me. Thus are we here together, and my brother would fain amend his life. Nor am I yet whole, for I was wounded well nigh to death, and bruised and mishandled, so that I had no power left, and am yet scarce healed. Thus would I abide here a while with my brother and mine uncle, that my wounds might be tended, and that with them I might save my soul. Now, ye will that I journey with ye to your mother in the Moorish land, and I were fain to ride thither, were I but healed. Yet is there another matter. I would gladly go with ye, that may ye know of a truth, for your honor, and to do away your shame, were it not that I thus brought about my death. Nevertheless, I have trust in mine uncle, who is so wise, that he shall make my peace with God, and bring me to eternal bliss. Now, son, bethink ye of our profit, yours and mine, according to that which has befallen me, and that ye have now heard, even as I tell ye. Counsel me as it seemeth ye best, since that I be your father, according as matters went afore, twixt me and your mother, it behoves ye well so to do. Then quoth Morien, were ye better healed, I would ride gladly, but it becometh me well to shun anything that might do ye harm or mischief. I can give ye none other counsel than that ye abide here till ye be once more whole. King Arthur is captive, and his land is beset, and in sore distress. Here is his nephew, Sir Gariot, who hath come hither with me, and now that I have learnt the truth, I shall ride with him to court, to do him honor, and there abide till that ye be whole and healed. And I will return hither in the hour that I know ye be cured of your wounds, and may keep the oath that ye swore to my mother, that ye be praised of men and in favor with God. So shall my mother once more be possessed of the lands of which she hath been disinherited, and which she hath this long time lacked. I shall depart, and ye shall abide here, where may all good befall ye. I will aid the queen, and God grant that I may win such fame as shall be for the bettering of her cause, and mine own honor and profit. I shall return, be ye sure of it, when the time is ripe, and shall ever think of ye as my father. Then all thanked Morien, deeming that, as at that time, no better counsel might be found. And Sir Gariot and Morien alike besought of Sir Percival that he would ride with them to aid the queen and release King Arthur and bring comfort to the land. This he swore to do, would his uncle grant him leave thereto. Then did they all, and Sir Aglaval with them, so straitly pray the uncle that he granted their request. And never might ye see at any time folk so blithe as were these knights, in that Sir Percival would ride with them. Thus did they take their leave, and wend on their way. But now will I leave speaking of them, and tell how it fared with Sir Lancelot, who would slay the evil beast. End of part 5.